How you guys doing? Yeah? Good. Okay. Well, I have to start off by saying that it has been a crazy week. My wife and I just bought our first dog. And yeah, it's been nuts. Like, it's the only thing that I can think about these days. Like, what is he doing to my couch right now while I'm talking to you guys? But no, really, like, I've been watching him and playing with him, because you're not supposed to just watch the pets, you're supposed to do things with him, but I've been just kind of watching him, and I've been thinking about what I was going to talk about this weekend, and one of the things that I was thinking about is, guys, like, we have a problem, all right? We got a problem. And the problem is that we're a bunch of dogs that think we're cats. Yeah, no, seriously, like, we're totally convinced that we're cats. Like, we're eating the cat food and drinking the cat milk, and we're playing with the, like, little mouse toy and chasing the laser pointer on the wall. And, like, all the stuff in our life is, like, trying to tell us, like, who we are. And even our dog friends, that some of them think they're cats, but they tell us, like, you're a cat. And we look in the mirror and we see a cat. And we have this owner that's, like, trying to get us to go outside and find out who we really are, because we're made for something totally different, but we just seem to be content laying around, like, our independent fat cat self. And we're just, like, looking at this, you know, this owner trying to get us to go outside. What are you doing? I'm a cat, man. You know, I'm going to lay around. Sorry if you're a cat owner. But like, seriously, like, we don't even know. We haven't even, like, realized. We don't even see the problem. Like I said, we look in the mirror and we see something totally something else than what we really are. And we don't even know that the vision's broken. We're not quite sure what we want. And in the midst of, like, busy society, like, you know, changes in family and technology and on, all these things being thrown at us, like, we wonder why we're discontent and kind of unfulfilled. We see some of the symptoms of it in our lives, like maybe, like, broken relationships or just being stuck, like stuck spiritually or emotionally, or even just in your job, like, there's just stuck, and I don't know what's keeping me from going to, like, the next thing. But who has time, like, in our lives to even get self-aware and find out what's going on the inside, and to find out if even, like, this thing in the mirror is the real deal or not the real deal? Like, who has time for that? Who has time to find out, like, what our divine identity is? And who we really are, like, who God, the one who created us, calls us to be. And we would love to think that this is, like, a 21st century problem, right? Let us say, we're the first ones to ever encounter this, so, you know, give me a break. And the thing is, it's not. Like, this happens throughout human history multiple times, where, like, the gears change and things accelerate, and we have to learn how do we be us and who we really are in the midst of fast-paced, crazy stuff happening all around us. And one of the times that this happened was about 500 years ago, and we call this the Renaissance. And that's where, like, I mean, art was taken off, and literature, and there was just these big things happening in religion and governmental structures. And they had the same problem. Like, they didn't quite know who they were. They looked in the mirror, and they saw the cat, but they were dogs. And out of this time came this guy, and his name was Ignatius of Loyola. And he had this passion for God and passion to surround himself with a group of people that could know who they were, and they could stand on who they were and know their weaknesses, like, be really honest about who they were in the midst of this fast-paced society, and be honest about the things that were trying to influence them. And as he looked around, you know, he saw greed and deception in the midst of the government and the military and in religion. And does it sound familiar? Like, we see that stuff all around us. But he surrounded himself with his group of people, and they knew who their weaknesses were or what their weaknesses were, and then they tried to make their lives better, and they tried to make the lives of people around them better, all for the glory of God. And they called themselves the Society of Jesus, and we would know them probably more as the Jesuits. And I just want to, like, step aside for one second and just say that, like, if you've gone to the Vineyard long, like, you know that we love, like, all the different streams of Christianity. Like, we love all the different traditions, and we want to be able to look at what other people who are trying to follow Jesus are figuring out through trial and error. And we want to glean the really good stuff, and we want to leave the error aside, just like we hope we can offer people who are following Jesus just really good things as the Vineyard. And that's one of the reasons why we're looking at these principles of the Jesuits, because we want to glean the good stuff. And we're doing this thing in the Vineyard movement nationally called the Heroic Leadership Institute. And my wife and I are directors of this institute. And we have one of the sites right here in Duluth. And there's another one in Denver, another one in Maine, Lewiston, Maine. But it's all structured around the five core vineyard values. And then there's this like ethos, this environment, an atmosphere of these principles, or what we would call the pillars of the Jesuits. And these pillars are self-awareness, love, ingenuity, and heroism. And so these guys, they sought to be empowered by God to know who they were, like what their weaknesses were, what their strengths were, so they could minimize their weaknesses and maximize their strengths to bless people. They wanted to be people of love, because all around them they saw that things were like governmental structures and society was based around fear, so they wanted to be based on love rather than fear. And then they wanted to have ingenuity in their lives. They wanted to adapt quickly and be agile and meet the needs of people at a moment's notice. They would say that they wanted to always have one foot raised, always ready to like go a different direction and meet like what they thought God was calling them to do and bless people. And then they wanted to be heroes. They wanted heroism in their lives, to call people to a higher standard, to a bigger thing, to a better way to live. And that's what we want to do as a community. We want to do all those things so we can go do great things in our community and in our families and all across the world. So that's why we're talking about these. And so I'm going to talk to you today about self-awareness. And I'm going to read a little quote out of the book Heroic Leadership about self-awareness. It says, "We remain naive enough to believe that those who don't know themselves, their strengths, weaknesses, values, and worldview can achieve long-term success. As the world becomes even more complex, changes even faster than Loyola's topsy-turvy 16th century environment, it becomes increasingly clear that only those with a deeply ingrained capacity for continuous learning and self-reflection stand a chance of surfing the waves of change successfully." Because here's the deal, guys. We're dogs and we think we're cats. That we don't quite see it. We have junk, we have stuff that's just in the way from seeing like the real us. And what are we gonna do? Like, are we gonna take the time? Are we gonna stop to realize who we are? That all of you, every one of you, is a son and daughter of the Most High God, the one who created everything in the universe. He made you, and he wants to tell you what you're about and what you're for. And one of the ways that we can do that is through self-awareness. Because self-awareness just invites God to show us the real us and then heal us, make us look more like him, and then send us out to do really great things. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to look at Psalm 139. So let me pray, and we'll keep going. So Jesus, I just thank you for what you're doing in all of these people's lives, God. And I just ask that you would help all of us just be self-aware. Just right off the bat, God, just help us be self-aware. And as I talk, Lord, would you just like stir up things in our hearts that we could go to you and find out who we are. We could be defined by you. Amen. So Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. And David says here, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So self-awareness has to start here. It has to start at self-leadership. We are all leaders. Every single one of you is a leader. And some of you might be looking at me going, "Mike, you're the leader. Michael and Brenda, they're the leader." Like, yeah, okay, some of us are leaders of people. All of us are leaders of ourselves. All of us lead ourselves. So the question is, where are you leading yourself? Where are you leading yourself? And we get a really great clue from David here in Psalm 139 about how we can do this, like what it looks like to lead yourself in self-awareness. When he says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." Search me, God, and know my heart. Right there, that's self-leadership. Like David, just by writing it, just by saying it, he's just saying, I'm willing. I'm willing to go to you and just search me. I'm willing. I'm willing for you, for the God that knows all things, that made all things, that made me. I'm willing to go to you and allow you to look into me, point out things in me. And so that brings up the question, are we willing? Are we willing to go to him? Because we have opportunities like all around us. I've heard it said about leadership that leadership is not defined by the size of opportunity, but by the quality of the response to that opportunity. And that applies to us as self-leaders. Like, where are you leading yourself? Like today, are you willing to lead yourself to God? And that's, if you get anything from anything I say up here this morning, it's just that. Are you willing? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to do it today and tomorrow? And even, like, how about this? Are you willing to be wrong? Sometimes we think we have it figured out a little bit. Are we willing to say, God, I'm willing to find out if I'm even wrong about this? I know for me personally, like the thing that I've always really struggled with is I have like always had this really bad like bouts of depression and anxiety in my life, and it's something that is always just kind of hung over me, and it's one of those things where I got to the point where I was like, all right, I'm just gonna have to deal with it. Like, this isn't gonna change. I got prayer. I talked to people about it. Like, nothing's changing, and I'm just gonna have to deal with it. Like, that's who I am. I'm an anxious, depressed person. That's me looking in the mirror and saying I'm a cat, not a dog. So are we willing? Are we willing to take a look at maybe the old stuff, the stuff that we said, I'm past that. I want to move on. I don't want to think of that anymore. Because the only way we're going to be able to find out what we really want, what we're really made for, is if we really are willing to let God speak into that, letting him search us and know us. All right, so you might be wondering, let's say I'm willing. Let's say Mike, you convinced me. I'm willing to give this a try. What is it going to look like, though? Can you tell me what it's going to look like? And first, I want to say that some of us who've been like following Jesus for a while, some of us think that, well, this is what we say when we see, like, when we hear things talking about identity and stuff. We say, I know who I am. I know who I am in Jesus. Like, you know, thanks anyway. And I hear myself saying that, like, to my own heart sometimes. And really what we're saying is, like, finished product here. No more work for Jesus. So, you know, go on about your business. And like, that's not a safe place to be. That's not a good place to be. There's this saying we have in the Vineyard, the way in is the way on. And this is what it means. Like, when somebody is thinking about or about to give their lives to Jesus, you know, like, why would we do that? Why would someone do that? Why did you do it if you're following Jesus? Like, there was a point or a moment or a series of moments where you had self-awareness, where you realized, like, oh man, I got bad habits, I'm broken, like I sin, whatever you call it, I have addictions and I can't fix this. Like, I can't move on from this place, I'm stuck. I don't know what to do, I don't have the power or the ability to move on. What is that? That's self-awareness. That's just realizing your weakness. And that's, in church lingo, we'd call that salvation. And that's just realizing that thing and then handing it over to Jesus. Because then we go to Jesus, and he, like, fills our hearts up with life. And, like, the deep recesses of our heart get touched for the first time. And we have life. We handed him this crud, and he handed us life in exchange for it. And it doesn't end there, though. Like, the self-awareness doesn't end there. It keeps going. It keeps going. You need it. You need it through the entire journey with Jesus. That it's one moment of self-awareness after another. That it's the light continually growing brighter and going deeper into those places of your heart. And that it would reveal every weakness and go to every little bit and say, what is this? What is this? Like, let's heal that. Let's make this look more like Jesus. We can be more alive. We can have more life. And in church lingo, we'd call that sanctification. Just that process of continually exchanging the crud and getting the life. And that just goes on. It goes on and on until we're with Jesus. And that's and so there we see that self-awareness is for everybody. Like, it's for the beginner, it's for the seeker, it's for the noob, it's for the newbie. And it's right there that we decide that we're gonna follow him. Like, that, okay, I'm willing to be wrong, show me if I am. And he wants to do it. And then we see, like, in the seasoned veterans, if you're a seasoned veteran in this following Jesus thing, we realize we're not done yet. Like, there's more life to be had. There's more pieces of us that he wants to pull out and say, hey, look at this. Like, I want to make this more alive. I want to make this more alive. Or this piece of you, like, it's hurting you and it's hurting people. Like, how are you going to let me lead you out of that? Like, at the end of that little passage in Psalm 139. So I think the neat thing is we see this happening in Jesus too. you know, it's not just something we're talking about. Like, we see Jesus' self-awareness, and it's like this really strong thing. It's really neat. He's in the desert. He's being tempted by the devil with all these lies, and he knows who he is, and he answers the lies back with truth. Or he's getting baptized by this John dude in this river, and all of a sudden God says, "You're my son in whom I'm well pleased." And he goes and he does ministry. Like, it's from this place that he goes. So, okay, let's say we're willing. Like, how? How do we create this space in our life? How do we do this? How do we, I like to think of it as like wave breakers. Like, how do we set up these things so that the momentum of like society and image and the voices of influence, like, don't just sweep us off our feet and carry us, but they can hit something and stop. And how can we create that in our lives? And so there's three different ways that I'll say. And one is just, I can't explain it any other way than it's just like God kicking down the door. Like, we can be willing, we can go to God, and he's just like, you know, boom, kicks open the door. Like, you know, crazy experience of self-awareness. We see this in Paul's life in the book of Acts, where he, you know, is on his horse, and God, like, knocks him off the horse and blinds him and then gives him a new name and then a mission, and then he goes out and does it. Like, that doesn't really happen to us, does it? Not really. It's happened to you guys? Oh, you're kind of silent. Okay. So that's one. Number two is one of my favorite ways of the Jesuits. And theirs is just, it's a retreat. It's the way that they would go away for 30 days. So they would join the order, and then they would go away for 30 days and press into self-awareness to figure out, like, who they are and what they're for. Doesn't that sound excruciating? Like, 30 days of just in this room by yourself thinking about who you are? It's excruciating. You guys, it's okay. You can say, yeah, it kind of is, Mike. I'm sorry. So there's that. So who has 30 days? You know, who has 30 days to give their life to go do this thing? So let's make it more applicable to where we're at today. Like, how about a week? How about we go for a week? How about 3 days? That's one of the things that I've tried to do in my walk with Jesus. And before I was working here on staff, I would try to do it like once or twice a year, where I would get done work on a Friday. Maybe I'd leave a little early and I would go find like a cabin or something. And I would bring a Bible and a journal, and I would sit there and I'd maybe read like Psalm 139, because I think it's one of the best when it comes to identity stuff and just speaks to us about who we are and calls, you know, allows God to really speak to us. But I would sit there, I'd read that. And I would sit there for a couple of days and just ask Jesus, like, who am I? Like, what am I for? What am I supposed to do in this life? I have so many things telling me what to do. Like, what are you telling me to do? What are you telling me to do? And it's great. Like, he'll talk to you. He'll talk to you about it. He'll talk to you through the walks you go on. He'll talk to you through the scripture that you read. Or this one. Here's a tip. Like, if you go and do this the first day, like, it's undoubted that this will happen, that you will just, like, you'll be reading and you'll fall asleep. And then you'll journal a little bit and you'll fall asleep. And then you'll pray a little bit and you'll fall asleep. And it's actually just indicative of our culture that, like, we live on adrenaline. Like, we're going all the time, and we think that's, like, the way that we're supposed to operate all the time. And so we're, like, moving on this adrenaline, and all of a sudden, like, we stop ourselves and we put ourselves in this environment of, like, relaxing a little bit, and we start falling asleep. Like, we're holistic beings. To be healthy spiritually and physically is a really important thing. They feed off of each other. So it's really good to watch that if you go do it. And I have a spiritual director friend of mine who would call that holy drowsiness. So, like, if you need some permission, like, it's holy. It's a holy thing, guys. Just take a nap, you know. Okay, if that's too hard, 3 days, you're still daunting, Mike. I don't know. How about 3 hours? Like, I just want to make it easy on you guys. Like, give it a try. 3 hours, you go and do it. Like, get a babysitter and, like, you know, lock the kids out of the house or something, and, like, go, you know, go into your room, or go into a room that you don't feel like you don't have to clean right now, and just sit there and ask God, like, who am I? Create that point where everything in your life can hit something, and you can actually stand with Jesus in that kind of shelter of who Jesus is, and you don't have to hear him through all the stuff that is getting in between us and him. All right, so the next one is I think the best gift that the Jesuits have given us, and that's the examine. So back in their day, they would call it reflections on the run. And in a nutshell, what it is it's just us stopping and saying, God, how am I doing? That's all it is. It's just asking God, how am I doing? And is that like exactly what we need? Like in the midst of running around, trying to do family, trying to do work, trying to have a little bit of fun in the midst of those things. Like we just need something on the run. Like we need something that as we're going, we can build it into our lives, into our daily lives to be able to let God speak to us. And it was this that really helped me in the midst of my anxiety and my depression. There'd be mornings where I would wake up and like I couldn't get out of bed. There's no way I was gonna get out of bed. There's just so much anxiety, so much just keeping me down that I was afraid to just go out. And I would grab like these examine questions and I would go through them and I would just hear God like talking to me about who I am. Like, this is who you are. You're my son. You're a prince of this kingdom that you live in. Like, don't fear. And he would bring me up. Like he'd wake me up and get me out of bed, send me on my day. And that's what one of the most powerful things about this. I had an HLI alumni person tell me that one of their favorite things is like they would do it in the morning, so they would do these questions, and then in the afternoon you do it. So you do it like in the morning, afternoon, and then evening. But like you do it in the morning, and then something would happen. You get cut off in traffic. You get, you know, somebody just really annoys you. Like, you know, your kid gets dressed for picture day, and then they spill something all over their shirt or something. And you're just carrying it like all day. And you don't realize that this emotion is like messing with you and pulling you around, and it's coming out sideways at coworkers and spouses. And then you hit your second one at noon. And you realize, oh, this thing's been ruling me all day, this emotion. And you're able to talk to God and unload it. And then it doesn't have to ruin the rest of your day. How great would that be if we built that into our day? It'd be awesome. And so the list of questions here, I'll just give you a brief little list, it's just the first is just starting out being thankful. Like, what are you thankful to God for today? And you just come up with some of them and you just say, God, thank you. Thank you for my family. Thank you for people who support me. You know, thank you for a blue sky. Thank you for a paycheck. Thank you for all these things. And then it's all about like missing, like where have you missed the mark? Where have maybe you struggled with addictions or habits or sin or something? And like you take that and you just go, all right, Jesus, like I confess that to you. It happened. This stuff happened in my life. And then you receive his forgiveness. And you just receive from him because there's grace and forgiveness from Jesus for all the things that are going on in our lives. And then we ask him, like, what do you have to say to me today? What's the thing you're saying? What's kind of the big thing that you want me to know about me, about other people, about you today? What are you saying? And then the next one is just offering ourselves to God. So I'm just going to offer myself to him, like to love him more and to love people. Can you imagine if we did this? Like, imagine if all of us did this 3 times a day. We didn't get swept up with all the stuff that wants to push us around. We built stuff into our lives to be able to stop and talk to Jesus about what he says about us. Like it would change us. Can you imagine if we were so self-aware that we could walk into a room and know the way that like our weaknesses could hurt people and we could make sure we don't do that. Or the way that our strengths could like encourage people and bless people and we could use those. What if we walked around like that? What if we weren't just walking around willy-nilly? What if we could be really self-aware so that we could really love people and we could be us and not try to be the cat and say that that's who I am, but be the dog and be who we are, be who we are. So really it's just about slowing down, guys. And it's slowing down, like I've said probably ad nauseum at this point because of all the stuff that's just flying at us. Because we let that stuff speak to us. We let that be the voice that speaks into us. And just makes me think of Psalm 139, it's verse 13, that he created my inmost being. He created you. Like did commercials and TV and media and your friends and like political parties, did they make you? They didn't make you. God made you. Don't you think he has something really good to say about who you are? Or do you think he has like life to speak into you and an identity to give you that would make you feel fulfilled and content with life? And that's the whole point of getting to a place where you can encounter him and hear those things from him. All right, so as you encounter him, allow him to point out that real stuff. We begin to kind of sense what he's doing in us, but then we get to see that he's doing stuff through us. He's doing all this stuff through us. Because self-awareness, the reason why the Jesuits would do this 30-day thing in the beginning of joining the order is so that it would launch them into everything else they did. So when they went around the world to, you know, be professors and missionaries and doctors and all this stuff, like, they could know who they were, and then they could always be launched from that point of knowing who they were. And so that's what happens. Like, as we get to know who we are, we get launched into this amazing story of God. We get launched into doing these really great things in the world. And we see it in Jesus' life. One is that baptism that I talked about. And then also my favorite. Favorite is John 13:3-5, when he's about to wash the disciples' feet. And it says this: Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin, began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. How powerful is that? Like, the God of all the universe, the one who created all things, stoops down to earth, becomes a human being, and he's hanging out, eating dinner with his buddies, and he gets up, wraps a towel around his waist, and he destroys all his enemies. It doesn't say that. No, that's not the God we follow. This God gets up, knows who he is, has all this power. He ties a towel around his waist, and he washes the dirty, grimy, fungusy feet of the guys that have been annoying him for 3 years now. Like, who is this God that we follow? And if we're following him, like, who are we? If we're made in that image, who are we? Guys, like, that's the launching point, that we would know who we are and that we would go. Remember all those opportunities I talked about, that it's not about the size of the opportunity, but the quality of the response? Like, what are all the opportunities that are all around us to turn dirty feet moments into really great things? Because it's going to launch us into sweet stuff, and it's going to launch us into serving. Like, as he does this stuff, like, he's going to call us to go serve and go lay down our lives for people, because that's what he did. He washed feet, and then he died on a cross. And he said, that's my example. Come follow me in that. So when we encounter him and discover that reality of who we are, it's a game changer. It changes everything. And then we go do it. But the whole idea is we have to be willing. Like, we have to be willing to go to God and hear who we are. We have to be willing to maybe be a little wrong. But what does it hurt just to go and ask? Like, am I wrong? Tell me who I am. Tell me who I am. And then he heals us up and he sends us out to do really sweet things. All right, what we're going to do now is we're actually going to do an examine. So you guys can hit the lights. And I'm going to lead you guys through an examine. And I want to start by saying this. I know that everyone here is really in different places. Like, you're all in different places with maybe been following Jesus forever, maybe for a little bit. Maybe you're not even following Jesus. And I'd say there's something in an examine for everyone. It's just self-awareness. And so I would just invite all of you to do this. And I'm going to go through the questions, and after I say them, they're going to show up on the screen behind me. And feel free, like, close your eyes, like, get in the moment a little bit. I'm going to pray to kind of get us in the mood for an examine. But just, like, don't be afraid to go there. And then if you're distracted, because I know that it can be hard in, like, a big group like this to do things like this. Smaller group, a lot easier. Bigger group, it can be kind of tough. But if you get distracted, just look at the question. And look at the question that we're on the screen. But let me pray just to kind of start us off here. So, Jesus, I just thank you for what you're doing. Lord, I look at all the people in this room, and I'm just, like, blown away by the God of the universe doing something in every one of their lives. It's a beautiful thing. So I just ask that you would bring us to a place where we could encounter you. Would you help us be willing to bring ourselves before you and say, those things have searched me, God. So what are you thankful to God for today? And just think of some stuff and then just start saying it to him. Start saying thank you. So over the last 24 hours, what are some things that you've struggled with? Or maybe addictions, or maybe sins in your life? And just, if you can't think of anything, just ask God to tell you, to highlight something. And then just confess that to God, to say, it's true, here it is, I'm sorry. And now just receive his forgiveness. It's enough. It's enough to cover those things. There's grace and forgiveness from him for everything. What is he saying to you today? What is he saying? What's the big thing he's saying? Or maybe something he's pointing out as part of this is you can say, like, search me and know me. And now just offer yourselves to him. Say, I'm available. Available for you to tell me who I am and to send me out to do good stuff. God, teach me to love you and to love people. All right, why don't you guys stand up with me? So Holy Spirit, I just thank you for what you're doing. And we give you just that time just as worship. We're gonna move into a time we call here the Vineyard Ministry time. And so if we have some of the ministry team, if I can just have you come up and you guys can just line up here. These guys are trained just to pray and to join in with what God is already doing in your lives. And so I would just encourage you first, just if there's anything that came up in the examine, you know, any like emotion at all, if it was even resistance sometimes is pointing out things. And so resistance or just like emotional response, like come on, like Jesus is doing something. And then as I was praying for you guys, I just felt like there was a few things that maybe God was doing in you. And one was just, you just need help like on how to create space to encounter God. You just need some help. And God wants to help you. Like you don't have to figure it out before you go do it. You can ask for help. And so come up and get some prayer for that. And also, if you've never asked God like who you are, maybe that's never a question you've ever thought of or you've just never even wondered about it, like come up and get some prayer about just who you are and let somebody just pray for you and kind of hear some stuff from Jesus for you. And then the last one is just if you feel like you know your identity in Jesus, like you know who you are and you've heard it, but it's still kind of just up here. And you're having a hard time living it out. You're having a hard time it like affecting who you are for real change in you. I would encourage you to come up and get some prayer for that. Let's just start going to him and encountering him and all those things. So these guys would love to pray for anything that you want prayer for. So if there's anything else, feel free to come up and get some prayer. Otherwise, thanks for coming to the Vineyard and hope you guys have a great week.